to another episode of Neon Movie Bunker. I'm John Robinson.
And I'm Ellery Stan.
And we're here to talk about movies.
And D23.
D23?
Yes, D23. Disney-centric convention and
product
showcase.
Product rollout.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. It's a product rollout. Hey, here's the stuff that we have coming out soon that you want to be aware of. And they had some pretty cool stuff.
Yes, they did.
So here, a lot of it centered on the Disney Plus streaming platform, which they are rolling out in mid-November. It's going to be unlike most other streaming platforms in that it's going to have a weekly release for its
programs.
It's not going to be binging.
Binging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm good with that.
Yeah. Finally got a trailer for the Mandalorian.
Yeah. That looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Looks really good. I'm surprised by how intrigued I am by it, because I was...
not.
Yeah.
And then in terms of movie stuff...
oh, yeah. Plenty of movie stuff.
Yes. We got our first image of Emma Stone as Cruella de Vil for a movie that's coming out in almost 2 years.
Yep. Let's see here. We also got a new trailer for Episode 9.
Yes.
Let's see here, a poster for Black Widow.
Yeah.
What else did we get? We got...
announcements of Ms. Marvel,
mm-hmm.
Moon Knight,
yep.
And She-Hulk.
Yep.
Coming to Disney Plus. And Ms. Marvel is definitely being looked at for transfer to the big screen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see here, what else did we have? Eternals.
A couple of cast additions for Eternals.
Mm-hmm. And glimpses of everybody in costume,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. And then, some stuff for Onward.
Yeah.
And they had, Chris Pratt and Tom Holland on the stage for that, since they both are doing voices.
The lead voices, yeah.
And questions inevitably turned to Tom Holland's other notable role that is no longer for the House of Mouse.
Ah, yes. The Spider-Man thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was bound to come up.
It was.
You know that I'm not going to not talk about Spider-Man.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, talk about Spider-Man.
Okay, well, it seems that Disney and Sony have not been able to come to an arrangement to continue the agreement of loaning out the character to Marvel to include in the MCU.
Yes.
So, Tom Holland is still signed on for 2 additional films.
Mm-hmm.
Sony is looking to renew his contract.
Okay.
To expand that. It's just that these films will not be involved with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Now, Spider-Man 3, whatever it's going to be called, Spider-Man 3 can't go home or whatever it is, is scheduled for 2021, 2022, somewhere around that range.
Yeah.
You know what can happen in that amount of time?
A deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been thinking that too.
I'm not expecting one.
Yeah, but did we really expect the one that we got?
No. And we got 5 really good movies out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Kevin Feige, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all that we get, okay. I got to see Mysterio on the big screen.
Yep.
In
the fishbowl.
In the fishbowl, in an awesome fight with Spider-Man. I got to see Spider-Man stand alongside Captain America and Ant-Man and Iron Man and Black Widow. I'm pretty happy with what we got.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay. Worst comes to worst. Goes back to Sony, and they make movies about on par with Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I saw somebody put out a tortured metaphor about this.
Yeah. Is there any other type of metaphor around here?
Saying, basically, imagine if you had an apartment,
mm-hmm.
and you had this freeloader come over and throw really great parties.
Okay.
So great that your landlord wanted to give him money.
Okay.
In this metaphor, Sony is you, the apartment holder.
Right.
I'm not quite sure who the landlord is. I guess the public.
The public, yeah.
And Kevin Feige and Marvel Films, Marvel Studios, are the freeloader. Except that leaves out the problem of the parties that you threw before the freeloader showed up weren't that good.
Yeah. And it's not entirely accurate to call Marvel a freeloader on this either.
Yeah.
You know. But, whatever. Into the Spider-Verse was awesome.
It was pretty good, yeah.
And a really creative viewpoint coming in and doing something cool and unusual with the forthcoming only Sony version of Spider-Man 3 could be awesome.
Yeah.
A creative and subtle version of Spider-Man 3 could be really awesome, where it doesn't necessarily take place within the MCU. But then again, maybe it does. You can't tell.
Yeah.
You know, something like that would be awesome. And would leave things open for, you know, reintegration if such a thing were to happen. And of course, like we said before, another deal can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, he was added to Civil War.
Like, basically the 11th at the last hour. Minute. So.
Yeah. So something can happen.
Yeah. We will continue to monitor the situation, and if things change, we'll let you know.
That we will. So, John?
Yes.
Let's say one of our listeners wanted to get in touch with us and let us know their opinion of the whole Sony, Spider-Man, Marvel, Disney freeloader party situation.
Well, we have an email address.
Do we now?
We do.
And that address would be?
mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
That is an excellent way to get in touch with us, but not the only way.
Yes, it is. It is the only way. I have declared it so.
Well, then what are we going to do with our Facebook page?
Facebook. Who uses that?
Okay. What about
Facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. Bah! Bah, I say.
Okay, well, what about the Twitter feed?
Twitter.com/neonmoviebunker or @neonmoviebunker or @JohnNMB or @LRANeonMB.
Yeah, those would be the ones.
I'll let them live.
For now. Okay. Well, fair enough, but let's. Oh, okay. Okay. What if our listeners wanted to subscribe? Where could they do that?
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify.
These are all four wonderful ways to get in touch. No, not get in touch, but to subscribe to the show.
Yes.
And of course, you can also find every single episode and some trailers and other fun stuff at
neonmoviebunker.com.
That's right.
It's a website.
It is.
It's a new spiffy website.
Mm-hmm.
Go visit it. Make our investment worth it.
Yes. So, John.
Yes.
You saw a movie.
I saw a couple of movies.
Ooh, what'd you see?
I saw a movie on Wednesday, and I saw a movie on Sunday.
Ah, I was there for the one on Wednesday.
Yes, you were.
That was a good time.
Yes, it was. But I don't think it's what I'm going to review today.
No? Yeah. What are you going to review today?
I'm going to review Where'd You Go, Bernadette? Directed by Richard Linklater. Screenplay by Richard Linklater and Holly Gent and Vincent Palmo Jr., based on the novel written by Maria Semple. Stars Kate Blanchett, Kristen Wiig, Lawrence Fishburne, Judy Greer, Billy Crudup, Emma Nelson, Steve Zahn, Zoe Chow, James Urbaniak, and others.
Others?
Others, ooh, says I.
Okay.
It is the story of the Branch Fox family. LG Branch works at Microsoft developing thought-to-text technology, among other numerous other patents that he holds, and he's quite successful and whatnot. His wife, Bernadette, is at this point primarily a stay-at-home mother. But she is a person with a past.
Okay.
And their daughter, B, is an eighth grader who's getting ready to go off to Choate boarding school for high school because both her parents went to boarding school and they made it sound really great. And so she's gung-ho for it. And, well, Bernadette is our central character. We find out that she was an architect and quite a spectacular success, winning prizes and MacArthur Genius Grants and things like that before, well, moving to Seattle and settling down. The problem is that, well, settling down is not exactly in Bernadette's blood. As Lawrence Fishburne, as her old architecture professor, points out, people like you have to create or you'll drive yourselves crazy. And there is evidence that crazy is in the house. She outsources everything to a virtual assistant in Delhi.
Okay.
Sending her long rambling emails, sending this assistant long rambling emails, asking for things and, you know, taking delivery of dozens of Amazon packages and the like.
But so I shouldn't be doing that.
Oh, it. Hopefully, it turns out better for you than it does for them.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way. Our biggest motivating incident is that B has decided that long ago her parents promised her if she got perfect grades all through school she could have whatever she wanted when she graduated from eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
This was initially talked to forestall a pony.
Right, right.
But now B has decided she wants to go to Antarctica.
Hmm.
And the window to go to Antarctica is about 5 or 6 weeks away.
Okay, then.
But
so about that pony.
They do try to talk her into the pony briefly.
Okay.
But... And then Bernadette, who is on less than ideal terms with the neighbors,
mm-hmm.
typified by Kristen Wiig. H.L. Mencken once said, democracy is the idea that the people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard.
Uh-huh.
Bernadette has a very democratic view of some landscape.
Oh, boy.
Changes that Kristen Wiig's character is asking for.
Hmm.
And then there are a couple of other reveals, and LG and a couple of other people try to stage an intervention for Bernadette.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernadette does not take it well, escapes through the bathroom window, and thus the central question, where'd you go, Bernadette? Which is answered in an unexpected way, but puts her back on track to her best self.
Okay.
I don't know that anybody else, maybe Meryl Streep 25 years ago, could have played Bernadette Fox than Cate Blanchett.
Okay.
Hyperverbal. A foot smarter than anybody else she knows.
Mm-hmm.
But of surprisingly delicate constitution.
All right.
And Blanchett just knocks it out of the park. Billy Crudup as LG mm-hmm. is very good. And differently smart than his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But still a very bright guy. hits all the correct notes of concern and dismay.
Gotcha.
Emma Nelson as B is precocious in all the right slash least annoying ways.
Okay. Makes sense as the
offspring
of the two of them.
Yeah. I guess my biggest problem with this movie is that it's on the unfocused side.
Okay.
I might even level the Judd Apatow argument against it.
Trim 30 seconds here, 15 seconds there, a minute and a half there.
Yeah. I couldn't cut 10 minutes from this movie, but I could cut 20, 30 second stretches from it.
Gotcha.
There's some great scenery because, well, Antarctica is involved.
Right.
And Seattle looks good even when it's actually Pittsburgh. It looks very good. Linklater, I hated Dazed and Confused, but beyond that, he has been climbing my ranks. And this is another good piece of work from him. It's one of those movies that 5 years from now is going to get looked at as kind of a buried treasure, I think. Because it has not done well at the box office at all.
No. Well, and hasn't it had some odd release issues?
Yeah. It was originally scheduled to be released last year.
Okay.
And has been pushed back and pushed back. I think some of that is just because of the studio who released it, and that's Annapurna.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And
they were having a little bit of a thing.
Yes. So, yeah, I would recommend Where'd You Go, Bernadette to smart people and the people who love them.
Okay. You know that after a movie like that, that has such well-realized characters and appeals to the comedic sensibilities of intelligent people, but still presents them as the humans that they are with the silly foibles that we all have.
Yes.
That I have to follow up with something of a of similar gravitas, but yet light humanity.
What you got for us?
The Banana Splits movie.
Ah.
Directed by Danishka Erstehazy. Written by Jed Elenoff and Scott Thomas. Stars Danny Kind, Finlay Wotyakhisen, Steve Lund, Maria Nash, Naledi Majola, Richard White, and Romeo Carrere. Harley is a young boy, about 10, 11 years old, and he is obsessed with the Banana Splits show. That's the one. Not from the Kraft Studios, but the Raft Studios. A little distance because because of what happens later on in the film. You see, as a birthday gift, Mom gets tickets for herself, her new husband, her oldest son, and Harley, and one of Harley's friends from school to all go see a live taping of the Banana Splits Fun Hour.
Neat.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome. So they all get together, they go after a little bit of drama, and they're watching they get seated to watch the show. We're introduced to the staff that works on the program. There's the show's page named Paige. Yeah. Let's see here. There's the actor who plays Steven, the human human co-star of the Banana Splits.
Okay.
We get to meet the producer, the technician that works on the show, and we learn that the Splits are all robots. Animatronic.
Robots, okay.
Mm-hmm. And something goes a little screwy with one of them. And that screwiness ends up causing a little bit of an Age of Ultron style problem.
Or Westworld.
Yeah. In that now the Banana Splits are looking to kill pretty much everybody in the audience. From there, I would say things unfold as you would expect. But really, who would be expecting this? This is like the Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects this.
Yeah.
When I first saw the trailer for this, I thought somebody was playing a joke. A really well-realized joke, but a joke. Nope.
Nope.
This is a 90-minute feature-length film about the banana splits. Not characters that look like them, not characters that are kind of like them. The banana splits killing kids and their parents. You know, every so often you look around in the world and you realize things aren't going terribly well.
Mm-hmm.
But we get things, little gems like this to keep us going. It's not necessarily... This is exactly what I would hope for from a cross between Saw and the Banana Splits. It is gruesome. It is gory. The gore effects are really well realized. This is not bad CGI blood splatter. This is practical effects work that had some real thought put into it and some real care put into the anatomical accuracy of the splatter and the intestines and on like that. The performances are solid. This is not winking at the camera. This is not done for goofy comedic effect. This is just a really bizarre blend of two flavors that you were not expecting put together.
Is this perhaps Cage Award material?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, positively, 100% will be on the
shortlist.
The shortlist for that this year. This has been a great year for that sort of thing, too, quite honestly. Between this and Iron Sky 2 and Replicas, there's plenty of crazy film.
Wait, and Serenity.
Serenity's crazy, but it doesn't... There's a level of quality of production that the other three have that Serenity just doesn't.
Fair enough.
The Banana Splits is a quality production. This is not a slipshod, cheap thing. I mean, it isn't a major blockbuster, no. But it doesn't look like they cut corners on it. This looks like something that was done wholeheartedly, earnestly, in order to get some scares and some laughs out of the audience. It'll have you wondering, what on earth am I watching? But it's still a hell of a lot of fun.
Okay. So listeners, did you see Where'd You Go, Bernadette? Or did you see the Banana Splits movie? Please let us know what you thought. mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
In the meantime.
DVDs and Blu-rays.
That's right. And this is actually a pretty good week for home video, quite honestly. I'm going to be entirely on brand. Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
It would be dishonest if I were to try to recommend anything else.
Yes.
That's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah. My DVD and Blu-ray pick for this week is Rocket Man.
Yeah.
It's a...
Solid choice there.
Yeah, it's a damn fine biopic. It's better than Bohemian Rhapsody. And Taron Egerton does a great job as Elton John.
Excellent. Bringing back the catalog title, making its debut on Blu-ray.
Okay.
Because there's a catalog title that I honestly, you know, usually the way math goes whenever there's a new format, and now 15 years into the format, you can't exactly call Blu-ray a new format.
True.
But I was never expecting Hell Comes to Frogtown to get a Blu-ray release. Hell Comes to Frogtown comes out this week.
Wow.
Do you realize it's like the movie studios, all their home entertainment divisions all conspired to make me go broke this week? Banana Splits, Godzilla, Hell Comes to Frogtown. What's a cinephile to do? What's a cinephile to do?
Gosh. Got anything for us to avoid this week?
Amazingly enough, no. No, there's really nothing. I looked twice through all the listings. I'm like, no, okay, I'd be comfortable recommending that. All right, yeah, I see no problem with renting. No, okay. So, yeah, no, I've got nothing.
All right. Hey, Larry.
Hey, John.
Let's go to the movies.
Okie dokie. What are we going to go see?
First on my list of things to see right now continues to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it twice. I'm considering going again.
I'm definitely seeing it again before it leaves theaters.
Yeah, it's that good.
Mm-hmm.
Next my list of things to see right now is something that we didn't talk about this week. But I think we can both agree that people should go out and see Ready or Not.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a fun time.
Yes.
That's a fun movie.
Fans of Sam Raimi, seek out Ready or
Not.
Yes,
definitely.
People like me who are only kind of lukewarm fans of Sam Raimi, seek out Ready or Not.
Yeah. It's the second big success for Disney after buying Fox.
The other being?
I don't recall. But I do know that this one has actually been doing pretty well for them.
Good.
So, well, as well it should.
Came out through Searchlight, which makes me think they didn't spend a lot of money on it.
No.
But that's okay.
Yeah, it's not the type of story that you need to spend huge amounts of money on.
Yeah. It's
so much fun.
The less you know going in, the better.
Yeah.
And that song has been haunting me.
Okay, then.
I'm going to find you.
Make it your ringtone.
And last most of things to see right now is Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
Okay.
It's a nice little piece of work.
Okay. Well, if you're going to stay home and rent something instead, be it on DVD, Blu-ray, streaming HD, 4K, or whatever, the first thing I'd recommend to you is Brightburn,
mm-hmm.
which is a flawed yet really entertaining look at the Superman mythos gone horribly wrong.
Yes.
Follow that up with the Banana Splits movie. It's such a weird thing, but it's just right. It's like a slice of... I've never understood having a slice of cheddar on your apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
But people swear by it. They say it's perfect. That's the sort of thing that this is.
Okay.
And finally, The Flash, the complete fifth season with all the crossover episodes. I don't know why DC continues to bother with movies when
their TV stuff,
their
is,
TV
that
stuff
good.
Is really good. Just keep going with that, man. But whatevs. Yeah, I know. It's money.
Yes.
It's all money.
I want to take the opportunity to mention our email address one more time, mail@neonmoviebunker.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. We are on Twitter @neonmoviebunker. I'm @JohnNMB.
I am @LRANeonMB.
And please subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And please visit www.neonmoviebunker.com for all your Neon Movie Bunker needs.
Yes.
Until we come to the end of another episode of Neon Movie Bunker, this week's episode is produced by L.R.A. Stanek, the executive producer of Straight Walpole, the junior executive producer of Maggie Stanek, produced by
Dr. Awkward and Mr. Man Trio.
So until next time, I'm John Robinson.
And I'm L.R.A. Stanek.
And I'll probably see you at the movies.